PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week is my good buddy, Jeremy, aka JD Talks. That's where you can find him on Twitter. He is also a mod over on the THP forums and what I would like to call a graphic artist extraordinaire. Jeremy, welcome back, buddy. You're on the hot seat or whatever we're calling this thing right now.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be back.
So you just came back. You're a Detroit-ish guy. So you're a Michigan guy. You just rolled back from your 100th consecutive Morgan Cup or whatever we're calling. What is this, number four?
The completion of number four, yes.
Big mathing number four. So you are a captain of a team event from the Hackers Paradise. They go out to TPC Las Vegas with Cobra Puma and THP and take on the opposing team. You put the hurt on them. Would you say this is like 99% equipment and 1% you, or how do you think it shook out?
Yeah, it's definitely the equipment. I think maybe a little more than 1%. I could take maybe two. The team's got to get some credit to you because they played their butts off. It was a team effort. So
this is your second year at TPC Las Vegas. It's funny, I'm carefully saying TPC because I talked about this a couple weeks ago and I called it THP Las Vegas, which is pretty funny if you think about it. So it's your second year there. Did it feel different this year? Did you get a different sense of the experience changing, or was it relatively similar?
It was definitely a little different. I mean, weather was different. The course actually I thought was in better condition last year than it was this year. But it was a different feel, different group of guys as well. Makes a big difference.
Well, the one thing you can't get away from with TPC Las Vegas is the layout. It's kind of super fun. And I always circle back to this crazy canyon profile on the back nine. You know what I'm talking about. You aim for the steeple and then you come back and hope you don't hook one into the, or fade one into the junk.
Yep.
Have you played a lot of desert golf? Are you familiar with that kind of area or no?
No, not at all. I mean, the two experiences I have in TPC Vegas are my only experiences in desert golf.
Okay. So we've seen some golf out there. Shout out to the Arizona THP Collective who constantly share in their experiences about how they destroy clubs in the desert. I would take the free drop because I'm a club snob, but
you can't take the free drop in competition. I learned from my boy Ichino or Ichiko.
Enchino, if you're JDAC.
Oh, it's Enchino. Yes. To properly play from the desert. So,
okay. Is it with your foot or with your club?
No, it's like you have to move the rocks around ever so gently as to not let the ball move and make sure you're not going to hit something. If you can avoid it at all costs, right?
And then you thin the ever-loving crap out of it, yeah?
Yeah, then you swing hard and hope for the best. That's all you can do.
Did you have any desert-esque shots while you were out there?
Oh, yes.
Really?
I had probably two or three.
Did you
One that I was very disappointed, actually, that no one was able to get a picture of because it happened to be a cart path only hole. Oh. And I was off to the left near the cart path and up against kind of the side of a wall, and I had like 1 foot up on that and one behind a bush trying to just punch it out. But the other people in the foursome were all at their balls in the fairway. So there was nobody there to get a picture of me taking
That's usually the best part of THP events is getting all these photos. I mean, we had an insane discussion on the forum over. I hope you guys enjoyed running back through that. It was like 5,000 posts deep by the time we were done. It's always fun to catch, you know, you can't really hide a bad shot at a big event like this because just like on TV, everyone's going to know about it eventually, right? It's going to be, you're going to get recorded. You're going to get a picture taken, whatever it is. It sounds like you got away scot-free. I wouldn't have known about it if you hadn't have talked about it. So,
yeah, there's a few pictures out there from other guys with similar shots. So you can kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about, but
right.
That's one of those things, like, I mean, you've seen me get on my knees and hit a ball out of a bunker, if I recall correctly, right? It's kind of fun to try and hit those shots sometimes because you're trying to save the hole or whatever. And
yeah, I've seen
you do what you can do.
Pretty precarious positions between our experiences down in the Carolinas and you know, up here in Ohio. You've joined me for a couple rounds at my home course, which is always a blast. Yep. We should talk a little bit about Cobra Puma because you're pretty well versed by now, having played them consecutively for the last few years. Have you found, and maybe we'll start with Puma, and I know the answer is yes, because Cloud spun everything. But you know, there's been a pretty significant transition of quality there from Puma's perspective. They've made good products for a number of years, but do you feel like they're finding their niche here with Cloud Spun? I guess Matter a little bit as well. They've got some pretty incredible limited edition stuff. What's your take in the last 4 to 5 years with Puma?
I definitely think they're on the up and up, you know, in the materials department for sure. Cloud Spun is legit. Matter, actually, I've kind of come to like that a little better on course than
really?
Cloud Spun.
Okay.
Yep. It's a little more flexible and not quite as cottony feeling, I guess. I don't know how to describe it. So sometimes Cloud Spun is great, like in it's a little stretchy, you know, stuff like that. But Cloud Spun can be great in like the little bit like 50 degree weather, right? The quarters of Cloud Spun is like perfect. You don't get too hot, you're not too cold. The Matter's a little thinner, stretchier, I think.
Well, I think for anyone out there who hasn't experienced Cloud Spun, and I'm not sure how you haven't at this point, but it is, I call it cotton sorcery because it feels like cotton, but then it stretches like not cotton.
Right.
But then, you know, you get this incredibly soft profile in a tech material. And then I guess Matter's taken a little bit further and gone more techy, but, you know, not to an extent where you lose that soft profile. I don't have much experience with Matter, but I do have a lot of Cloud Spun this year, especially their quarter zips, their crew necks. I just picked up a couple Palmer quarter zips. I'm super excited.
Oh, of course, you had to have the Palmer ones.
Yeah, but those showing up. I mean, anything Palmer, I'm a sucker for. You know that. I got I got my Palmer Funko Pop right beside me here. You know, support my day's work, making sure I'm behaving. But what about the rest of it? I mean, the one thing that's interesting about Puma is for the last half decade, I would have said their dominance would have been in shoes. They came out with some, I would argue, what are they called? Biofusion, the original style when they moved away from, I guess they moved into like really high quality
stuff.
Sounds
right.
Unbelievable shoes called Biofusion, and I swore by them. They're my favorite spikeless shoe. I probably bought every colorway. I wasn't a big fan of the the softer mesh material, but the ones that were like, I guess, durable or resistant to the weather. I don't know.
Were they the ones that had like the hex spikeless ones on the bottom? Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and then the internals kind of had that hex plasticky. I don't
know. Those were fantastic shoes. I had a pair of those myself.
Yep. So I looked at that as like the starting point of a pretty significant Puma shoe revolution in golf. And I've had my ups and downs with ProAdapt and like Ignite and all that. Not super, super thrilled about the quote unquote waterproofing. Not my best experiences, but I picked up a pair of, believe it or not, and this probably surprises you, but Arnold Palmer custom ProAdapt Deltas this year. And my friend, those things are nasty. They are so good.
The Deltas are fantastic. Fantastic.
So you have, I just saw a picture actually you had posted. You have those crazy looking new, like sort of rainbow profile, like,
yeah, I don't know what to call those. I was going to try and remember what the name of them are, but they're great. Like, they go with everything, which is what I like about them. They're white. I like white shoes. I'm not a black shoe guy on the golf course. Mm-hmm. I wear colors, but I like white shoes. And with all the different colors of going throughout the whole shoe, like, you can literally wear it with any any clothing you want. And I'm a clothing guy, so I like to wear some bright colors occasionally, stuff like that, you know.
Goes along with your bubbling personality, Jay. are you an Ignite spikeless guy, or are you pretty much Pro Adapt Delta at this point? Is that your shoe?
Pro Adapt Delta and Power Adapts for me. I've kind of gone away from the spikeless. I own probably three pairs of Puma spikeless shoes in different colors, but I play a lot of early morning golf here.
Oh,
in Michigan,
yeah.
And it's dewy and wet, and I just don't even want to take any chance of slipping. So, and the Pro Adapts even themselves are so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, the spikeless, the original reason for going spikeless was comfort on the course, and the spiked ones are just as comfortable, if not more comfortable, in my opinion.
But you don't really walk that much, do you? You're more of a rider.
No, I rarely walk. The courses here, I don't think really, some do lend themselves to it, but for the most part, you know, it's just the distance between holes, the routing is not ideal for walking and playing fast. Like, I try to get out in the morning, get around before lunch and get to work, and walking doesn't lend itself to that. So,
okay. Well, let's talk equipment a little bit, because like I said, you are basically the Cobra connoisseur at this point. I like that moniker, actually. Pretty solid. We went through F9 together. Mm-hmm. I found that driver to be revolutionary in a lot of ways and hyper competitive. They made some sweeping changes to how the driver was designed in a speed zone. I love the concepts of a lot of it, but I didn't think they progressed in a way that I wanted them to from F9. And I don't mean negatively. I think F9 was mind-boggling in the way that it was. It just kind of hit you in the face, man. Like, obviously they had good products previous to that, but and I'll lean back on, like, LTD was another one that I absolutely love to talk about. Mm-hmm. But F9 was that first one I'm like, good Lord, this is a competitive product in a market that's already hyper aggressively competitive. So it was kind of cool to see him jump into that. Then you had Speed Zone, which I thought was maybe kind of like a lateral move for them, kind of maintaining the concepts, adding in a couple cool features like the rollover concepts. And I love, like, the what do you call it? The top line, like the oh crap marks you get there. It's really hard to do in a new Cobra.
Infinity face.
The face rolls over the top. Yeah.
Yep.
So You've got that, like, nice backup plan if your buddy wants to hit it and has had too many beers that day, you know, that kind of thing. I didn't spend a ton of time with Rad Speed. Really cool concept with radial weighting and all that. Obviously you have, and you've made your selection for the year. What did you pick, and compare it to F9 for me? Because that's kind of my benchmark.
So step back. I would agree with you on the F9. I think that in some ways really was a leap, the biggest leap forward for Cobra, getting back on the map and being competitive with other manufacturers in that regard. The sound was amazing. It had the right look. And then, as you said, they went to Speed Zone, which I think was probably an upgrade in the technical department, but then they lost a few other things, like the sound and the feel, I think, drastically changed from F9 to that. And while it worked, obviously it worked, it just wasn't, I don't think for me, it wasn't as good of a product. And then we go to Rad Speed, which kind of is it was definitely better for me than Speed Zone. It sounded better. It felt better looks wise. I chose the standard head model, which is a little more pear shaped, traditional shaped. It has the adjustable weights front and back, which I like to. I'm an internet golfer, right? I like to tinker. I like to move stuff around.
Sure.
And it was a hit. It was a huge success for me. Last year, I gamed the Speed Zone X, or a Speed Zone Extreme, which was okay. their huge MOI, their forgiving high launch model, and I had some success with it. But overall, I thought for me, it was a not a good fit. Let's put it that
way. Yeah. And then this year kind of circle back. I read some really good things. Obviously, you, as we'd mentioned, you'd come to play with me a little bit, saw some great drives out of you. I would argue this year, and you know, when we last played together out of state, it wasn't exactly the best time of your life for golf, but this year was definitely some of the best driving I've seen you do with a golf ball. How much do you attribute that to rad speed?
Oh, a lot of it for sure. It lowered. So I went with a little more loft this year, which I know goes against all internet golfing rules, right? But I went with a 10.5 degree head. So to give you a comparison, last year playing that extreme, the speed zone extreme, I had a 9 degree head and I was playing at 8 degrees. And it was still like a high launcher for me. This year I went to the 10.5 degree head and played it at standard 10.5 degrees. And I still had the weight in the back.
Really?
Yep.
And which is cool because you get a little bit of extra forgiveness there, promotes a lot of those positive things. Do you think from your bag this year there is a standout? And if and before you answer that, I want you to know that our buddy, Mr. Josh Babbitt, JB from THP, listens to all of these and edits them beforehand. And I believe if you don't say putter, he might just cut you out of the whole episode and have me talking to myself. So I'm assuming the answer is putter. But I might be wrong. What is the club in your bag this year?
Well, the putters were a very nice addition this year, right? They came up with the 3D technology, the high MOI, and then they had the vintage line, which gave you a little more classic look. They all have that awesome, sick face that puts such a great roll on the ball.
That's SIK for everyone out there who's not familiar with the products. It's actually a pretty sweet collab between the two companies, which obviously Bryson is out there on tour using a sick putter for at least the time being, because it's a cool concept in the face itself. Anyways, back to you. I'm sorry. I had to throw that out there. Sick, you think SICK, you know?
Yeah, right. No. No, I think it was a great launch for Cobra. Getting it back into the putter market after a very long extended period of time. They came out with tons of models. They jumped both feet in first, gave people lots of options. You know, I tried both lines this year. I went with the Supernova, which is a number 7-ish look with the 3D printing, and gave that a roll for probably 3 months or so. Until I decided that I didn't think I was putting as good as I could be. So I went back to something a little more familiar, went back to the vintage line. This was a couple weeks just before the big event. I ordered one up. I ordered a blade, their Sport 45 model, and put it right in play. And it was a game changer for me compared to the other one. I don't know if it's just it's probably just me. It's probably just my stroke. Right. But
no,
I was putting such a good roll. I was putting such a good roll on the ball and hitting my lines that I felt like I could make tons of putts. And I did. So it was fun.
Cool. So it's probably driver or putter for you if you had to toss it up.
If I had to toss it up, yeah, driver or putter. Driver, I think, even talking to some people that I play with this year, they said this was the best they'd ever seen me drive the ball. And for me, when the ball's in play, I score well. So,
okay. Well, I'm going to put the Cobra conversation on ice a little bit here, because there's some fun conversations going on the forum this week, and I have to get your take. I noticed that you actually had posted your thoughts and pretty strongly pro tucked shirt on a golf course. And, you know, I'm not far off. I'm not super picky on what other people do unless it's, you know, against the rules. But what is your perspective on the tuck shirt? And do you think that golf should be like, you know, untuck friendly?
I think it's course dependent. I mean, golf overall, to me, when I go play golf, I like to look like a golfer when I'm out there, right? I wear the shorts, the shoes, the belt, like all of it. Some people aren't into the whole thing. They want to wear t-shirts and cargo shorts and like what have you, that some of those people, which is fine, you know, but country clubs or semi-private clubs or something, they like to have a little more rules, or I don't know what the word I'm looking for is right now, but you like to look the part, I suppose. And untucked, if done right, I think is fine, right? If your shirt's not hanging down, you know, a foot past your waist, you know, if it's short enough, and it's fine. For me personally, I don't like it. I find it gets in the way and it kind of bugs me. So I'm a tucked in guy. Plus, you know, you got cool belts and stuff, like show them off.
Yeah, I've got I just actually got a brand new belt. It's a needlepoint with transfusions on it. I'd hate for people to miss out seeing that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. If it seems like, and I'll kind of draw my line in the sand. I think mock turtlenecks are absolutely ridiculous. I don't know why anyone would want to look like that to begin with, but nope. You know, seeing Brooks wear it this year, it kind of gave me a different perspective, and that's not a good one. It's like the shirt you can get away with looking the furthest from a golfer and still be able to wear it on course. Like, that's kind of like where my brain's gone with it by him wearing it, because Brooks has always been that, like, you know, against the grain, whatever I can get away with kind of guy. And frankly, I'm shocked he doesn't wear joggers out there. Maybe thinks it's, you know, a beyond him or something like that. Or
I feel like I could totally see Brooks wearing joggers.
You think so? I don't know. Yeah. He's going to be the guy that like tries to wear shorts out there or whatever, and they're just going to get mad at him. But, you know, I look at stuff like that, and it's like, are people actively trying to not look like a golfer by wearing this stuff? I think about the like the blade collars or whatever they're calling those things, the faux collars that, you know, Nike seems to be pushing obscenely hard over the last few years. And
it's so weird
for me. I don't understand it. I don't see the problem with the collar. I think it looks good. I actually really like the structured collars. Like straight down is a really wonderful structured collar. And actually, if I had a beef for Puma, it wouldn't be the material. It would be that the collar seems a little weak for me. It kind of curves out and away from the central point, and it doesn't really rise the way I'd like it to. I like a pronounced collar. I think it looks good. It also covers my neck a little bit better. And no offense to me, but the more coverage I can get from the sun is the better I am off.
Sure. You
know, being that I grew up around polar bears. So, yeah,
as long as it's not a popped collar, you're good.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, that's I don't have a problem with a popped collar as long as it's being done to guard from the sun. I get it. But wear a gator at this point. Like, everyone knows what it is. Just put it on. Just be fine with it. Anyways, I really struggle, man. I don't understand the necessity to untuck. And if that's a personal preference, you know what? So be it. It doesn't dictate. I just don't understand why it would make anyone feel a certain sort of way. I really like the people's perspectives that say, I'm not a tucker. I don't tuck my golf shirt in, man, unless they ask me to, and I don't mind doing it when they ask me to. If it's a part of the you know, the dress code, then I'm in for it. If it's not, well, I'm not tucking it in. I don't know that I have a problem with that. If, like you mentioned, the size fits, you know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. I asked this on the forum too. Just what is the why do you want it untucked? Right.
So someone said it was very restricting, that it was like, I don't know. They felt like if it was tucked in, then there's something about the swing or whatever was restricting. I get that wearing a jacket in the winter would be restricting.
If it's tucked all the way in and it's super tight, then yeah, I can see that. I mean, you got to pull it out a little bit, right? Give yourself some room to move.
Well, we've already mentioned three different types of material that stretch like crazy, right? Now.
Exactly.
So this isn't your dad's FootJoy shirt, you know?
I was going to say, just going to say that. The untucked for me gets in the way, and I find it bothersome. Like, I go to grip a club and my shirt's hanging down and then part of my hand gets stuck with it. You know, it's annoying to me. I don't know. Some people, I don't tuck in most of my shirts unless I'm wearing a shirt and tie off course.
Yeah, that's true. So, I don't either. Here's a question for you. Someone had mentioned they intentionally don't tuck up until the point where they're about to play golf, and then they tuck it in and immediately untuck once it's done. Now, I would say getting ready for golf 10 times out of 10, I'm tucked and ready to go before I get in my car to go to the golf course. There is an exception, and that would be that if I'm going to, I'll be honest here, I'm probably going to Chipotle after for a bite to eat. You know, more often than not, I'll probably untuck at that point just because it doesn't really suit the style of condition. I don't know why I do it. I just choose to as I'm going into the restaurant, or I guess the Chipotle, whatever. Let's be honest. So, you know, in those conditions, I would. Are you the kind of guy who like immediately untucks or tucks as soon as they get to the golf course?
No, I would be like you. Like, I'm tucked in. I'm ready to go. However, I do untuck when I'm done.
I will like say that. Right when you hit
like
the car?
Not right away. Like, if I, depends on what I'm doing, I guess. If we're going to get a bite to eat or something like that, I'll probably leave it alone. But if I'm just going home, then yeah, I get into the car and I'm untucking.
Is this like, you know, a lot of people would say, and you don't have the issue because you're very happy with your Pumas, but they say like, I can't wait to get these shoes off, man. It's like this sense of relief once you get those shoes off and get your tennis shoes.
You know, it's funny
on.
You just say that. I was gonna say, I give it the equivalent of like kicking your shoes off when you get home.
Yeah,
like,
you're done. Yeah. Interesting.
I did my job. I'm done.
I want to challenge everyone listening along. Let us know what you think. And like I mentioned, there's a pretty interesting conversation going on the THP community right now talking about it. I really don't think there's a wrong way as long as you're respecting the dress code. But I mean, we could go on for hours, Jay, about the difference between khaki shorts or hyper baggy shirts or, you know, ridiculously baggy your grandfather's pleated khakis that look like, you know, I don't have a good word for you. Like you're about to go, you know, bungee jumping or something. Or parachuting. Yeah. We all kind of respect the reality that there is a dress code and we dance around it relatively fine. But I feel like there's some people, and I'm not all non-tuckers of the golf shirt are this way, but I think there are some people who just really genuinely like to be away from that dress code as far as they can get. And I don't really understand that.
I don't either. I don't understand the people that show up to play golf wearing tank tops and jean shorts either. So
I have a question for you.
I've seen that a time or two on the local course.
So I just went to Top Golf tonight, and so we were recording on a Wednesday. We went Wednesday night. Obviously, the show drops on Friday, unless we do a little Thursday redirect. And I apologize for that when it happens, because I know it messes with people's schedule. But I put on golf pants to go to Top Golf, and I transitioned out of my work clothes, which are, you know, I work out of the house, so it's sweatpants, basically like jogger sweatpants. So I'm in golf pants now. Are you the kind of guy who, if you're going to the range, regardless of what range it is, you switch into golf attire to do it? Or would you go with jeans and a t-shirt on and have at it?
If I'm going to the local driving range with mats and nothing special there, then I will wear whatever I'm wearing, jeans, t-shirt, whatever. Sometimes I don't even put my golf shoes on, believe it or not. I'll just wear my tennis shoes. But
wow. So you got the suns out, guns out. You got the tank top on.
It's just a driving range.
What are those weird looking shorts everyone talks about nowadays? The super high?
Oh, no, I don't wear those.
I'm not. You're older than I am, so you're definitely not into it. Maybe your kid has a couple pairs of them in the drawer.
I'm sure he does. But if I'm going to the course driving range or practice facility, totally different ballgame. I'm wearing what I would wear to play golf.
What about Top Golf?
Top Golf's casual to me. It's not, I don't even consider Top Golf golf. It's just a fun night out. that's the way that I enjoy Top Golf, you know, go with a few buds or, you know, group of people and have a few drinks, have some laughs, hit a few golf balls around. But I don't ever go to Top Golf to quote unquote practice, let's say.
Yeah. There's no grinding there. No. Yeah, I'm not ever wearing sweats to play golf in, unless there's like some situation where I'm already wearing it and I'm like sucked into something that includes golf. If I have any ability to change prior to doing it, I will not play or swing a golf club in that condition in public without wearing golf attire. It's, I don't know why. It's just, I feel really good about it.
Are you a take your own clubs kind of guy to Top Golf?
I would rather not go to Top Golf than use their clubs. That's how I feel about that. You would go to Top Golf and use their clubs?
I do. The few times I've gone, I only brought my clubs once, and I've never done it again. Like I said, I don't.
So much.
I'm not there to work on my swing or whatever. I'm just hitting balls into the little dartboards on the ground. So
interesting. Well, that goes to show you how different we are, because I was 100% working on my takeaway tonight.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Are you going with people or are you going by yourself?
I was there with the wife, the kid, and the mother-in-law, which means I got exactly 45 swings to myself. I was out there grinding a little bit.
Well, that's the other issue with having Top Golf the way that it is designed, right? You're getting a few swings here and there. I don't know how everyone does it. When I go, take like five swings let someone else go, right?
Full 20.
You do all 20.
100%. Okay. And the funny part is mother-in-law doesn't play golf, so it was fun to watch her. She actually did really well. Wife doesn't care, despite being extremely good at golf. So she was like a 10 hit and quit kind of person. And then my son Cal, all he wanted to do was score points. It did not matter. He would watch that ball from the minute it landed to the minute it stopped moving. I don't care if it was like 30 yards away from going into one of those big circles. He was watching that thing until it was done, immediately looking at the screen like somehow hitting in the open range would get him a point. And then he was mathing his way into, you know, whatever came from it. It was pretty funny, man. That kid is, I don't think I've got too many more years of getting things by him. He's way invested.
He's quick. That's awesome.
So we got to talk about one other thing, and it's kind of been racking my brain a little bit. And shout out to Dax, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago. I actually made my way down to Nashville this past weekend, and we played some golf. And the last two times I've done that at his course, he's picked the music despite my opinions, I suppose I could say. And this time we landed on a series of music that I'm not going to say it's like nails on a chalkboard to me, Jay, but it's definitely not like my preferred audio experience while playing golf. Do you have, I asked this question in the community and I worded it as, do you have like a deal breaker for music on the golf course? Is there something you cannot tolerate listening to? Like it actually ruins your golf experience?
I listened to a little bit of everything. The only thing I can think that would ruin it if someone came out and like put on opera or something like that.
Would ruin it for you?
Absolutely.
Really?
I have no interest in opera. Sorry.
Well, I could understand you'd be like, bro, what is with you? Like, are you intending to skin me later and then wear me as a suit or something? Like, who goes and listens to opera with her golfing buddy?
I don't know. Like, who knows what could come up there, but. I listen to the whole gamut of music. I'm not a huge fan of like modern pop music per se or rap, but old school stuff is fine with me. Hair bands from the 80s are fine with me. I know.
Why are you smiling, bro?
Because I know for our conversations today, like that's not your thing, which is cool.
Yeah,
like I said, you're probably like five when it came out. So,
Well, that's the hard part, man. I was born in 84. So I missed like all of it. And by the time I was functioning, my dad is heavy into like the Dire Straits, you know, that sort of profile music, a little bit of Seeger. He mixed in some, I guess he was kind of into like that Supertramp and there's one, I can't think of the Big Chill and stuff like that. Like he's definitely in that, the different realm of music. He was not, there was not a lot of that, what do we call it? Hair metal. Or is that the right way of describing it? So we're talking like the AC/DC, the Guns N' Roses.
I think hair metal is probably the appropriate term.
Pretty fair.
I don't even know if it's, I mean, back then we considered it metal, but by today's standards, it's not.
Like
metal.
Classic rock, is that what you'd call it?
No, yeah. Well, it's classic now, unfortunately, but
yeah.
Before,
so it's before
when
man,
I was like, growing up, classic rock was Seeger and the Stones and stuff like that. But now the 80s stuff is classic now.
Well, it's like I don't mind a little bit of Journey here and there. That's not too bad. But there's just some bands that just don't do anything for me. And I hear it's almost like a nuisance to have to listen to it. And I know I'm probably really rattling a lot of people out there, and I feel terrible about it. Look, we're all different, right? I have weird taste in music, and I don't expect you to like it. I would certainly, you know, try and find a happy medium. I think everyone likes the Foo Fighters, so we'd probably listen to them. But, you know, I don't know. There's something about it that just, I guess there's two other conditions for me, Jay, and I'm sort of rambling here. Really vulgar music, and that's typically in that like rap segment, I probably wouldn't do because I'm worried about, you know, the impact of others in the area. The content that tends to come out of that genre is not great.
That's one of those things, like, know your audience, right?
The other thing is I like a fair bit of country. I'm very tolerant of it. I wouldn't say I listen to country, but like when you get like that super twangy, I don't know what it is. It makes me laugh. Like I feel terrible about it, but it makes me laugh. So we had one scramble and it was the very, very twangy country came on and I'm like right at the top of my backswing and I just started busting out laughing. And tried to hit the ball. I probably hit myself in the head.
Is country still twangy? I don't know. I think that's old.
Well, I think you have to pick it, right? What was that? Who's that dude who went on to, not America's Got Talent, the other one?
American Idol or The Voice?
Yeah, American Idol. And I think he went pretty far or won it, but he's like super intentionally twangy. It doesn't matter. The point is there's just some things that just hit me in a certain way. It just doesn't work.
Yeah,
but not for you. Your trigger is opera.
Wow, I have not yet to hear opera on the course, thank God. But like that would totally, I would literally stop what I'm doing and go, what the heck is going on?
Like, what about like death metal?
No, that's not my thing.
No,
so I like to understand the words.
What about Slipknot Justin Bieber mashups?
Not a Slipknot fan either. or a Bieber for that matter. No thanks.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a pretty fun conversation on the forum because you don't realize, you know, you're playing a role as DJ, and I firmly believe that I have no problems with music on the course, but don't impact the groups around you, and definitely don't impact, you know, a certain range outside of the cart, and make sure it's cool.
So here's an interesting question that I thought came up today was someone mentioned, shout out to my boy OU Magic, because he's the one that brought it up. He asks all the members of the foursome if they're okay with music. And that's something that I never really thought about before. I always ask my partner, like, hey, do you like music? You okay with it? What do you like? Type of thing. But to ask the other people, it's something I never really considered because I'm not playing it loud enough for everyone to hear. Right. But he says that he would ask people, everyone in the group, what they thought, because he doesn't want to offend anybody. And I don't think that's necessary. Annoy, whatever the word is, but I don't think that's necessary.
Well, I think you're playing to the crowd, right? Like I play with my dad quite a lot and his friends who are of his age. Some of them are just, they have no interest in music being played on the golf course. Doesn't matter how, I suppose, neutral you would call it. I could see that, even if it was just me and my buddy joining my dad and his buddy, I could see that being aggravating for them. And you know, I'm the kind of guy, I'm not trying to push those buttons unless we're playing for money.
If you're just in your cart, you know, and you can't really hear it outside of like a 10-foot circle, then what does it matter? I've been in plenty of foursomes where my cart has their own music and the other cart has their own music.
Oh man. I don't know about that. That's heavy. They're not
clashing or anything. And there's not one guy playing DJ for the whole group. So you're in your little bubble. You're in your little bubble doing what you do and they're doing what they do.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, the conversation rages on over there, for anyone curious about, hundreds of THPers and their perspectives on it. I'm looking forward to digging in further because I listen to some weird stuff out there. And typically for me, it's that stuff that gets me fired up and excited and happy to be there. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't listen to music every single time. I think it depends on the type of round it is. If I'm golfing at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm not I'm not listening to music. I'm enjoying the round. I'm enjoying the nature. But if I'm in my league, maybe throwing a few beers back or something like that with my boys, then yeah, that's the time I'll listen to some tunes, you know, just relaxing and having a good time. And to your point about the music, again, real quick, the heavy metal, the hair metal, whatever you want to call it, that stuff's not always appropriate for a golf course. It doesn't, you know, that stuff that I want more country, more classic rock, more stuff like that. I don't want to be banging my head out there on the golf course. So,
well, yeah, I mean, there's no good answer, but
there's no correct answer.
Well, I suppose that's true. So does alcohol require music, or does music require alcohol for you on the golf course?
Neither.
No,
I don't need one or the other.
I feel like the one of the two says, I'm here to have a good time, but I also like to party. No. Well, my buddy, that's, yeah, I had a story about swing weights, but we're cooking on 40 minutes here. So unless you desperately want to hear it, we can save my mental breakdown of going from a D3 swing weight to a C6 build and realizing how critical swing weights are. We might say that for another week, and save the people from laughing at me a little bit. Do you have any questions for me this week? You know the drill. I'm sure you've got like a laundry list of things to torment me with, but at the end of every segment, I allow my guests to berate me with anything they have.
Well, I don't know if we should go down this rabbit hole either, but I have got to know what the story is with the Funko Pops.
The story.
The forum, like, what's the obsession? The forum's going crazy over these things. I know you have a obsession with them.
I have a trying to understand, right? Is it really? I have a 5-year old, which allows me to get away with most things. Okay. Uh-huh. So, little bit of backstory for those who don't follow the forum. THP has been having a little bit of a Funko Pop craze over the last, I suppose, month and a half at this point. It's just kind of, you know, that little figurine style task of finding and acquiring and building a collection of these little dudes who represent anything from ad icons to DC and Marvel characters to one of my favorite shows, Rick and Morty, you know, sports figures. Arnold Palmer sitting right beside me here. It's just kind of one of those fun little things where you chase it.
I was just going to say, is it the chase? Trying to find something specific to round something out. Like, I'm not a collector, so I'm struggling to understand.
Well, it's hard because when my son Cal, when we started playing Pokemon together, Pokemon Go during the big lockdown session where we couldn't really go to parks, we could just drive around them. We were doing all this Pokemon Go stuff and we started buying Pokemon cards. I don't know if anyone knows anything about Pokemon cards right now, but they're a pain in the butt to get. They're incredibly expensive. And the potential for buying $5 worth of Pokemon cards and getting nothing valuable is pretty high. So when I found out that there's a lot of stuff that would interest him from a Funko Pop perspective, and he already had the Pokemon ones, or at least a lot of them, I realized, like, I now get to put my money into something he can actually display and be excited about and just doesn't go in a box. So yeah, that's pretty much my scapegoat, is just getting into it with him. And for me, I'm a sucker for a good deal. Like, Jay, I don't think you realize I love a good deal. So when I go to the store and I see something that's marked $10 down to $250, my day is made.
We
went to the store tonight and I got Cal some sort of McNugget from McDonald's Funko Pop, dressed up as, I don't know, it's like tennis McNugget or something McNugget. But our favorite thing to do is go to all these different Targets and hit the scanners with him. And as soon as he finds one that pops up at, you know, 75% off, he knows he's going home with a Funko Pop. So, you know, that is the thrill to me so far, is not only finding the ones we're looking for that he's super excited about, and not to mention I'm like 90% done with this Christmas shopping already, because I'm a psychopath.
Wow.
But, you know, yeah, I know. But, you know, getting that chase and going to different places with him and showing him these different Funko Pops. There's some cool stores locally, too. It's just a fun thing to do. And it feels like I'm not just throwing money away on Pokemon cards. So I'm all for it, man. And it seems like Forum's having a blast, too, with it. Lots of THPO's peers out there in the Funko fam. I think you'll be in there soon enough, even though you don't collect. So,
well, yeah, I will admit I happened to be at a Target yesterday and I actively searched them out just to even see what was there. And I went through them, even through the back, like just seeing if anything caught my eye. But
yeah, you know what the crazy part is, man? You think about this and they have like 20 plus thousand different Funko Pops now, like an unbelievable amount. So this is the best part, is people say, well, you know, I wouldn't get them unless they did this, and they just name off something stupid and random. You go to Google and there's the Funko Pop, you know, sitting right there, figurine of, you know, the Scrubs characters, and like, ah, dude, I'm not doing this until they do Tiger Woods. I'm like, oh shit, they have Tiger Woods. You know, yep. It's, I got one right here as a good example. I wouldn't do one unless they did Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore. Well, I got both. So, you know, I got the fancy Ty Webb one where he's got the blindfold on from Caddyshack doing the the putting thing, awesome. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like everything. They find a way to just get you. And once you're in, dude, you're screwed.
See, I think I was burned at one point when my son was small. There was this video game called Skylanders.
Okay.
It was very similar in the regard that there was probably 50 characters, right? And they would limit release them, and you had to have these characters unlock different worlds. And like, we were going to store after store in Walmart and Target because they're exclusives, trying to find these things, right? And we got all of them except for this one that escaped us. We had all of them, right? And then we finally get it. We have the whole collection. And then what happens?
They release more.
They release a new game with all new people. And I'm like, I'm done. Like we had people, we had relatives looking for, like, you got to find this one, you know.
Oh, that's so fun.
I'm like, ah, oh, I'm not doing it again.
It's fun, man. It's the grind. I mean,
yeah, this is a little
video games. But I've got you know, a couple Halo characters back to my Xbox 360 gaming days.
You were showing me a Mega Man there earlier.
Mega Man in 8-bit, which is rad. We got Seinfeld guys, we got Holistic George and a couple Kramer things. Kramer playing golf. With a sandwich. I mean, dude, I could go on for hours on this. This is a golf podcast, not a Funko cast.
So. I know. It was just one of those things I had to ask. Yeah, him. Like, I'm trying to understand the obsession on the golf forum.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of posts.
That's the fun part about a community like THP. I mean, you have golf driving the conversation day in, day out, but you also have people who are obsessed with college football or the NFL or the NHL or Funko Pops or, you know, gardening, whatever it is. There's
something
conversation
for everyone,
which is pretty cool. Yeah. And the amount of crossover between our members is awesome. So
yep, I agree.
What else you got for me, buddy?
I think that's it tonight, man.
Really? You just wanted to poke on the Funko Bear, did you?
I just had to try and see if I could get a little insight into it. That's all.
All right, man. Well, I had a blast as always. Like I said, I've got some more things to talk about. We'll save them for next week. I look forward to getting you on again soon. And hey, congrats on the big win. Morgan Cup champion, captain, Jeremy. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
Anyone out there playing this weekend? I am jealous of you. I think I'll get to play once, but I'm not sure. Definitely going to try. If you are playing, have an awesome time. Listen to whatever music you want. Tuck your shirt in or leave it untucked, depending on what the course tells you to. And let me know how you play. We'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.